Jack Daniels whiskey and 1.5's is how the folks around here have been living their lives.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5, 35 minutes after the hour on this Tuesday morning. I won't be in tomorrow, just to leave you a heads up. My wife is expecting our first child, so I would attend to some personal business. But just to know, let you know, you'll be in good hands. Former State Senator Rusty Glover is filling in. He'll have Paul DeMarco from Jefferson County, John Merrill, Secretary of State. Well, Steve Flowers, you hear all these names usually on this program. Columnist, State Senator Greg Allbritton, and as we do every Wednesday, you'll hear from Sean Ross. So make sure you tune in and give my friend Senator Glover a very warm welcome, if at all possible. But joining us now, a pleasure to introduce my next guest, State Representative Chip Brown joins us on the line. Representative, how are you this morning?
Well, hey, Jeff. I'm doing great. I'm glad to be with you. Congratulations on the baby. It's exciting news.
Yeah, it's going to be busy here, but I think we're about as ready as one could be given the circumstances. But we'll see.
It's exciting stuff. It'll change your life. It's a good thing.
Representative, let's get right into it. You made some headlines yesterday in this letter supporting the congressional delegation's challenge, or members of the congressional delegation that are challenging the Electoral College. Talk about that a little bit, if you would.
Well, we felt like it was important. There were five of us. It was myself and Representative Shane Stringer and Wes Allen, Representative Wes Allen from Troy, and Jeff Sorrells from down around Henry County, and then Rhett Marcus from Enterprise. And we just had some conversations, and we talked about it. Their congressman in that district, Barry Moore, and then, of course, our congressman, Jerry Carl, have been, out front and supporting the efforts to challenge the Electoral College results. And so we felt like it was important to send a message to them and to Senator Tuberville, thanking them for really showing some courage and going out and standing up for what they believe is right. And I think it's right. I mean, there's two that have dueling slates of electors, and there's just been so much evidence of fraud, of possible fraud, that I think the American people need to know. We deserve the right to know that our elections are free and fair. And I mean, if you don't have free and fair elections, that's basically the building blocks of tyranny. That's the first thing to knock down your freedom. And so I think it's important that we know that we have free and fair elections. And from what I've seen, I don't think we've had that this time.
No, I think our election process for many has left much to be desired. And, as you say, it's not just not having faith in the federal government, but if people feel like the presidential election outcome was somehow rigged, whether it happened or not, I think the concerns are valid. They don't just lose faith in the White House. They lose faith in all levels of government, it would seem.
Well, and I think that you're exactly right on that. I mean, there's already the feeling in the country that we have two standards. A standard for the D.C. and the D.C. elites and those who are at an untouchable level. I mean, we see it with whether it's Hillary Clinton's emails, the Mueller probe, you name it, the Stoke emails, all this, the page, all those things. And so when you get, nothing ever happens to those individuals. And so I think that lends to a lot of frustration. I mean, Hillary Clinton's emails is a great example. I mean, because, I did some time in the military. I was proud to serve my country. But one of the first things you knew is you do not, on your own personal email, you would not send classified documents. If you did, you'd end up in prison. But nothing happens to those people. They seem to be above the fray. So I think there's already that perception. And if we really lose faith in the electoral process, then what do we have? I mean, we really have two separate countries. We have a country of the people that are in the know and in the fix, and then they have the rest of us. And that's unfortunate. I think we can't survive as a country like that.
I mean, I tell you, I hear from my listeners and people in my other jobs, you know, it's almost this level of they, you know, you feel helpless. Like there's nothing you can do. You're being told that's just the way things are, and that's the way they're going to be. It's unfortunate, and I'm guilty of this as well. But you know, what can you do but shrug it off? But you get this feeling of helplessness that there's not much that can be done to right this wrong, and we're just going to have to live with it. And when somebody does try to do that, there is a severe pushback.
Well, and you're exactly right. I mean, it takes courage to stand up. I've told people often it's easy to vote no, but it takes a lot more courage to stand up for something than to just be against something. So when you lend your voice, you stand up and you say, no, this is not right. Something doesn't smell right here. And that takes a lot more courage. And that's what we, unfortunately, I think on the national level, we haven't really had, is we haven't had those people that are willing to step up and say, you know, wait a minute, this isn't right. I mean, this person shouldn't be protected just because of their status in American society. And so I think that's the frustration. It's been building and building for years. And I think that's the hope that Trump gave so many Americans across the country, was that he was the first person, really, when he came down the escalator in Trump Tower and laid it out. It was refreshing to so many Americans because he was the first person to speak like that, really, in my lifetime. I don't ever remember a political figure speaking like that. And I think that's the beauty of it, is he is not a political figure. So I think that's he gave hope to so many people, and people are frustrated, angry.
Yeah, I mean, that's but it's that disruption. It's just that craving for a disruption in the whole system. That's how you get Trump. So yeah, these people out there, they're not happy with the idea that Donald Trump would be, you know, the president, and he's got all these qualities they find unsavory or untoward. But you know, the reason that a guy like Donald Trump can come along and be successful, I think to some degree with Tommy Tuberville and other politicians, is that the system, it's willing to just ignore the concerns. And that's where you get this urge for disruption.
That's right. I mean, when there's a void, you know, there's a void there, something's going to fill it. And in this case, it was an individual that stood up and said what he believed was right, and he was willing to go in there and stir things up and disrupt the system, like you said. And I think that's upset the status quo. And I think there's a lot of people that are in power that don't want to see that continue. And so I do support the challenge of the Electoral College, the different slates of electors. And you know, it's nothing, people making this out like it's a seditious act and, oh, this is, it's so anti-American, but it's not. It's actually, just like under the First Amendment, it's our right for freedom of speech to step up and say what we want to say. It's the right of Americans to question results. I mean, you know, if you think something isn't right, I think you have your duty bound to stand up and speak against it. That's just the way I was raised, and that's the way I think most Americans believe.
Yeah, the idea that this is treason or sedition, I mean, like, it's not like a challenging an election outcome and using processes that are in place, be it, you know, I think a lot of people would refer to them as maybe a rubber stamp or some kind of formalization or whatever, but using processes are in place. It's being likened to laying siege to the White House or doing, you know, some kind of hostile military act. That's far from what's going on here, but it does raise that question. You know, we're throwing around those terms like they're nothing.
Well, and it, like so many terms, if you throw it around enough, it really loses its meaning. And it's throughout history. I mean, really, if you go back and look, actually, there's a great book by Gore Vidal about the 1876 election that really goes into detail about it. And, you know, if you go back and look, I mean, this is nothing new. It's nothing new to challenge the results. I mean, I think that people internally should be duty bound to question the results if they think that there's a question of impropriety with it. I mean, that you we have to have faith in the electoral process. If you don't, then you're really nothing more than a third world backwater that has no faith in the electoral process and elects individuals that just continually take advantage of people. And we can't have that in America. That is the bedrock, the cornerstone of the foundation of this country, is that we are a free and fair republic. And that's the beauty of it, is that we're all, the power should come from the individuals from the bottom up and not the top down.
Joined by State Representative Chip Brown here on the program. Just got a few more minutes here with you, Representative. Let's move back to state politics or state goings on. Let's say next month, February, you guys get to go back to Montgomery and give it another shot. How optimistic are you that given the pandemic and everything, you're going to be able to get a whole lot accomplished?
I'm very optimistic. I mean, you know, you hear different things, and of course, the state house, as you well know, is a rumor mill like none other. But it's, I'm very optimistic. I mean, we've got some important legislation we have to move through. On my own side, I have a NIAS law that is, it totally reforms the criminal bond procedures in Alabama and will hopefully keep dangerous predators locked up. It gives district attorneys an opportunity to request a denial of bond to dangerous individuals. And that's a great example of a bill last year that passed unanimously in the House, got to the Senate, and as of COVID, we didn't go back and we weren't able to push that through. And that's just one of many important bills that we have to get through this session. So I'm very optimistic. I'm hopeful. I mean, we're paid to go to work. I want to go to work.
Yeah, well, I guess the notion is, well, just with the threat of the pandemic and, you know, perhaps a vulnerable population that represents or that's in the bodies of both the House and the Senate, I mean, you know, getting you just hitting the ground running, there's going to have to be some special provisions made, obviously.
Well, and I've had conversations, as have other members, and with the leadership, and they have a plan to address that, and I think it's a good plan. It's well thought out. I mean, there are problems with the state house itself because, you know, it's rather tight, the confines of the state house, particularly on the House side, not necessarily on the Senate side, but and with staff and, you know, individuals coming in, you have tour groups, you have government affairs people, you have state agencies. And then you have 105 House members. So on any given legislative day, I mean, the building is just overflowing with individuals. So they have a good plan to address that, particularly changing some of the venues for committee meetings and how we meet, spreading us out into the gallery, into other areas. And, you know, might have to vote by iPad. They have a system in place for that. And so I think they're really doing a good job of looking at how we can accomplish this and how we do accomplish it. I know the speaker wants to go to work, and he hears from us that we're ready to go to work. And so I feel good about it. I think we'll pull it off.
Yeah, I mean, there is a lot to get accomplished, though, given, you know, last year was cut short. And then I guess with next year, that end of the quadrennium year is kind of almost you get the budgets done and then you get back home and you tend to campaigning and things of that sort. So this may be a make or break year for a lot of these bigger picture ideas, right?
Well, it's an important session. I would say it's probably one of the most important sessions we've had in a long time because you're really looking at two sessions in one, because last year, very few bills, because of the time frame, were able to get through the body and get signed into law. And other than the budgets, most things were put on hold. And so, you know, I'm bringing back several bills that I passed out of the House that I wasn't able to get through the Senate in time before we adjourned because of COVID. So, and I'm one of 105 members, so, you know, everyone has their own bills they're going to be bringing. And then you still on top of that, bills relating to COVID, the prisons issue, bills dealing with rioting, the civil unrest, I mean, it's going to be a jam packed session, no doubt about it.
Representative, we're out of time here, but I want to thank you for making time for us, and best of luck. I know it's going to be a busy time here, starting to pick up real soon.
Well, thank you, Jeff. I appreciate you having me on. It's always great to be with you. Thanks again on the baby. Congratulations.
Thank you. We'll do this again real soon. State Representative Chip Brown here on the program.